This broadcast is general in nature and is provided for informational use only and should not be considered investment advice or an offer for a particular security. Views and opinions expressed are those of Richard Bassett and are subject to change based on market and other conditions. Consult an investment professional regarding your unique situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Keep in mind, investing involves risk, including the risk of loss. Investment decisions should be based on an individual's own goals, time horizon, and tolerance for risk. Securities and advisory services offered through Cetera Advisors, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity.
If your retirement is just a few years away, it may be time to adjust your investing strategy.
The shocking statistic is that by the time somebody reaches 65, 95%, they're dead broke, they're dependent on family, or they're dependent on government.
It's important that people deal with someone to make sure to prove and provide lifetime income.
Welcome to the Financial Planning Hour, presented by J. Marshall Associates of Fall River, hosted by financial advisor Richard Bassett. Over the next hour, be prepared to hear ideas, concepts, and strategies that may challenge the way you were taught to think about saving and investing for retirement. It's time to roll up our sleeves and get to it. Now, here's the host of the Financial Planning Hour, Richard Bassett.
And welcome into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. We are live today on this Monday, February 5th, first Monday in February by my calendar. And
First day the sun's been out since all February.
I was going to say, it's sunny. It's sunny, so that's nice. So we are live today. If you've got questions, feel free to give us a call. 508-673-1480 is the call-in line. Again, 508-673-1480 if you'd like to be part of the conversation.
And that's a free call. We don't charge for that, right?
We don't.
It's absolutely free.
Yeah.
No reason not to call.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, call with a good question.
Yeah, come home with a good question.
So it is Monday, and I always start by talking about what's going on with the stock market. I think last week was choppy is the way I'll say it. And if you look today, more of the same. The Dow, the S&P, but both down. NASDAQ down as well. Most of the stocks that I have on my own ticker are down as well. That's not unnormal. You know, we had a two-month run up in November and December last year to finish out 2023. So to have some choppiness in the beginning of 2024 is normal. Last week, the market was pretty choppy. There were good days and bads. And it all had to do with the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is going to dominate headlines for much of 2024, I think, when it comes to the financial world around us, Dave. And quite frankly, they're the ones who have got us into this mess with the interest rates and the inflation. And they're the ones that are going to get out of this mess, hopefully. They're trying for that soft landing. It's something we've talked about on the show before, where they're trying to bring down inflation, keep interest rates a little bit lower than they are now, get people buying houses and refinancing houses again, because the rates are just too high, and it's sort of stifling that market as well. So the Fed pushed back on the idea of March rate cuts last week, and that's sort of what caused sort of the problem. So the big question is, when will they cut rates? Will they cut rates? And then when will they cut rates? And no one really knows, and that's sort of what's got the market in a tizzy. The market likes to know what's going to happen next. And, you know, I know it sounds funny. Sometimes I talk about the stock market like it's a living, breathing person, but it kind of is in a way.
Yeah.
You know, and it reacts negatively maybe sometimes when it shouldn't. It reacts positively maybe sometimes when it shouldn't. It's like a petulant child in a way, and there's really no way to know exactly how the market is going to react. So last week, the Federal Reserve pushed back on the idea of March rate cuts. And unfortunately, as a result, the S&P 500 recorded its worst two-day stretch since October. That's normal. You know, the Federal Reserve is going to drive the bus, unfortunately. And right now, the market's worried that Jerome Powell will make a mistake with his timing of rate cuts. They're worried about when he's going to make the rate cuts happen, and will they happen quick enough? Will they happen deep enough? And that's what people are worried about. So no one really knows how it's going to affect us. But the one thing I can tell you is you're seeing it already in banks, credit unions, fixed annuity companies as well. Interest rates are coming down. Last year, we had rates in my own office, we had rates in 5.5%. Then they were 5.25%. Now they're 5.05. They're starting to come down because obviously we know this impending rate hike is going to happen. We don't know the timing of it yet, Dave.
Yeah.
But we know that there's going to be rate cuts, and when the rate cuts happen from the federal level, they tend to trickle down to mortgages and loans and investments as well, CDs and investments, and that's why you're going to see that. So we're reminded of Jerome Powell's previous policy error, and I don't like to call people out, but it was an error.
What did he do?
Well, he hesitated to raise rates until March of 2022. Remember, COVID started in March of 2020. The government was extremely worried about inflation, especially after they started giving out COVID relief money pretty rapidly, and as a result, everyone was asking, when are they going to raise rates? When are they going to raise rates? And many people think he waited too long, all the way till March of 2022, to raise rates. And that's why you saw rates go up so quickly, so fast, is that a lot of people thought he was behind the eight ball, if you will. So based on, the fact that many people, I don't say lost their jobs, but it's expensive right now to live, go to the grocery store, get gas. We see the price of gas going up again. You know, I was with a young gentleman today. He's 18 years old. He's in college. God bless him. He wants to buy a multifamily home. He wanted to buy a triple decker. And that's a great idea, but think about the cost of that right now.
And depending on where you buy it.
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, there's little inventory. Second of all, the prices are overinflated. And third of all, you've got higher interest rates than you had just a few years ago. It makes it pretty daunting for somebody who's got a goal in mind, has some assets to work towards that goal. It makes it pretty daunting to be able to actually accomplish it right now. It's hard. It's hard to finance things, you know, especially when you get to big items, things like houses and cars. It's really difficult. So, you know, I think it's tough to know, you know, when Jerome Powell will raise rates, but we do lower rates rather, but we do know that's going to happen. The question is when. And as I said earlier, you know, people think he made a mistake waiting until March of 2022 to start raising rates. And, you know, the fact is that at that time, we had the worst inflation that we had seen in this country in 40 years. And if you remember this word, Dave, they told us at the time that the inflation would be transitory. And what that meant, it would be temporary. It wasn't going to be a long-term thing. And here we are 2 years later, just about 2 years later, with high inflation still and people struggling to make ends meet. You know, think about those people that are pension collectors, Social Security, you know, people that use Social Security as a large part of their income. That's really, really tough, I think, right now for people to understand that, you know, fixed incomes aren't getting any higher.
Yeah.
And the cost of living is way, way up. So your buying power is way, way down. And that's why, you know, talking to that young gentleman today, we talked about taking more risk with his money, because ultimately there's risk and then there's reward. The more risk you take, generally the more reward you'll get. Not necessarily going to work in the short term, but we're not short-term investors in my office. We're long-term thinkers. We're long-term planners. And ultimately, the market generally will provide as long as you give the market time and you're patient. And that's the hard part. Patience is the key when it comes to investing in the stock market.
And there's no real way to know when to get out of these investments, is there?
Well, you know, I don't think getting out ever is the right way to say it, Dave. And respectfully, what I would tell you is that it's not getting out. It's just changing your goals. You know, when you're young, you're in growth mode. So you want your money to grow. You want to turn, you know, $100,000 into $1 million or $50,000 into $100,000. Whatever the numbers are, you want them to grow. But then as you get older, growth becomes less exciting and more risky, more nerve-wracking. So you start to think about, what do I want in retirement? You know, when I actually get to that retirement age, whatever age that is for you, most people want stability. They want safety. They want predictability. And generally, the market doesn't provide safety, stability, or predictability. And that's why I don't think getting out is the right way to say it, Dave. What I would tell you is changing your investment philosophy to something that's going to focus more on income, more on preservation of assets as opposed to growth is the better way to go. And when people do that, that really depends. You know, what I find in this community the most is people are too conservative when they're young. And then as they get older, they eventually meet someone like me who's like, well, now you're behind the eight ball. You're behind. You got to play catch up. So we've got to take on more risk. And that can make people really nervous because now you're asked to step outside your comfort zone because you weren't taking the risks appropriately when you were younger. So you've got to think about that, you know, risk versus reward equation and how it's going to work best for you. And again, it doesn't mean you should take risk with all your money. I don't. I have money in the bank. That money is safe. It's secure. I feel comfortable with it. It's nice to know if something, God forbid, goes wrong in the house or the car, I can take care of that with that money. So that's really good. That's my safety net. That's my 6 to 12 months of emergency funding that I have at the bank. That's perfect. But then beyond that, I look to invest or opportunities to invest my other monies because I want my money to grow. I want to turn it into something. You know, it's amazing. If you make 10% on your money, which the stock market is absolutely capable of doing most years, you know, and you have $100,000 in there, that's $10,000 you made without doing anything other than just being patient and not taking your money out. You know, the hard part is it takes money to make money. So I told a client last week, we were talking about it, that saving, you know, equation from zero, when you start at zero, everyone starts at zero at some point in their life, to build up that wealth to say $100,000, it takes forever. It's like watching paint dry.
But after that,
it gets a lot quicker because now that interest rate, or hopefully that interest rate you're earning most years, is compounding off the number you already have, and it's starting to gain momentum. And the way I explain it to a lot of people, it's like an avalanche. You know, avalanches generally start with a small, you know, a small snowball rolling down the hill, and before you know it, it gets to the bottom, and it's giant, and it's massive, and it's got a ton of energy behind it. So, you know, that's the way I want you to think about investing in the market over the long term, is that you've got to be patient the market. It's not time, it's not timing the market that matters, it's time in the market that matters, having that time and that patience to stay in that market. So we're going to take our first break, come right back strong. But again, if you have questions or concerns, you need help retiring, you're not sure how you're going to do it, give my office a call, 508-673-3300.
For baby boomers, here's something to think about. Will you have enough income during your retirement? Are you absolutely sure? Do you understand the difference between growth and income? How about bonds and bond funds? Are you 100% ready for RMDs? Do you have an estate plan? If you've said no to any of these, we can help. Right now, for the first 5 callers, we'll send you a free, custom-designed, animated video retirement kit to help you plan for the retirement you've worked so long and so hard for. These custom video kits are loaded with cutting-edge retirement technology, custom designed to your specific areas of need. There's nothing else like them. So call right now to receive your very own custom-designed animated video retirement kit. Call 855-406-6218. That's 855-406-6218. Call now or visit us online at financialplanninghour.com. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. Ideas, concepts, and strategies that may challenge the way you were taught to think about saving and investing for retirement. The studio line is 508-673-1480. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. First segment, we were talking about Jerome Powell and how the Federal Reserve is sort of having a lot of pull and say on what's going to happen this year, I think, with the stock market based on when interest rate hikes or cuts will happen or won't they happen and what the timing of that all is going to be. Again, I mentioned mistake that they made back in March of 2022, waiting till then to start raising rates to combat inflation after seeing the inflation, the worst we've seen in this country in 40 years. Remember, they used that word transitory, telling us it was only going to be temporary. And clearly, here we are 2 years later, we're removed from March of 2022. Inflation is still a big issue for many. I see it all the time when I'm at the grocery store. It's where I see it the most, kind of in your face, if you will. It's crazy. And then, you know, forget about trying to buy a new car today. I mean, the prices are outrageous. And I think that, you know, many people buy cars and because they, you know, that's what they want. But I think it's hard to be able to budget, you know, when you want an $80,000 pickup truck. That's crazy money for a pickup truck, I always think. So this time around, a policy mistake would involve the central bank leaving interest rates too high for too long. So sort of the opposite. And again, I feel for Jerome Powell and the Federal Reserve in general, because I feel like no matter what decision they make or when they make the decision, there's never going to be 100% of agreeance, and I think people always get sort of frustrated by what they're doing. And, you know, some people say maybe the Fed should just step back and let them, you know, let the markets do what they do. But oftentimes, you know, the Federal Reserve's position is that without the Fed, things would be much more volatile, much more worse. So, you know, who really knows for sure? But I think people are worried about the Fed being late again, and this time they're worried about it being in a different direction. So how does this all affect you, right? That's the bottom line, is with these rate hikes. Well, if you are like many, volatility is scary, but a necessary part of investing in the stock market. That's the hard part. I'm reminded of a client I met a few years ago, and she's a real nice lady. And unfortunately, back in 2008, when the market dropped significantly, she decided to put all her money in cash. And if we know the market history at all, and I'll remind you quickly, after 2008 and halfway through 2009, things got really better, really quick. And we went through a really big growth spurt in the stock market. And as a result, if you had stayed the course, if you had stayed invested throughout that whole time, you would have really done quite well with your money. But in this case, this particular person pulled out. They put it in cash.
So the market dropped in value, and then she sold her stuff?
Sold her stuff.
Whoops.
Yeah, and I call that locking in your loss.
Yeah.
So she locked in her loss, and then she didn't get to participate in any of the recovery. And, you know, the truth is the market is scary. I'm sometimes watching myself, you know, my own money. It is really scary to see how quickly things can change. But at the same time, you've got to be patient. You've got to, you know, you've got to stay the course. I'm reminded of my own investment. A couple of years ago, I had a you know, genius idea I came home with, and there was a technology stock that was going to split, and it was going to be a big deal. And I told my wife, you know, it's a no-brainer. We're going to throw some money at it. So we did. And long and short of it is we immediately lost about half our money, half the value of it. But we didn't lose the shares we bought. We still had the shares. So we held on to those shares. And, you know, it was funny. I showed her on Friday. We actually had a really good day on Friday, and the investment came back. In fact, now it's worth more than what we paid for. And of course, my wife's first reaction is, what are we doing? Are we selling? What are we doing? And it was funny because I said, first of all, slow down, you know, Gordon Gekko, you're not some big stock trader here. But the reality is the reason we're investing in that is because it was money that we didn't need at the time. It was money that we wanted to leverage into more money, and all we had was time and patience in front of us, and that's what we continue to do. So, you know, to answer my wife's question, no, we didn't sell it on Friday. We just leave it alone, let it keep growing, because, you know, realistically, the watched pot never boils.
Well, those don't make any money until you sell them, right?
Some stocks do, you know, dividends and stuff come in, Dave, but okay. In general, you know, this particular stock doesn't pay dividends. So yeah, it's all about appreciation.
Got it.
You know, and again, two ways to make money in the stock market. Good question, Dave, is you can make money by buying it for a dollar, selling it for $2. That's appreciation. That's easy to understand. And then the other way you can make money in the stock market is by investing in things that pay dividends. So dividends would be income that comes in. You know, some stocks might pay, you know, 50 cents a share for every share of stock you own. So if you own bunches and bunches and bunches of those stocks, you might get a pretty sizable paycheck. Don't laugh.
No, I'm just thinking, how are dividends determined? By the profit margin of the company?
They're determined by the profits of the company. And in general, the companies are incentivized to pay out dividends, because if they don't, they pay taxes twice. And, you know, the only thing worse than paying taxes is paying taxes twice. So companies will generally disperse dividends out to shareholders.
And then we get to pay
it. And then you get to pay the taxes, exactly, versus the corporation. So, you know, I think that when we look at, you know, what's happening with the Federal Reserve, it's a scary time. But as I said earlier, scary is necessary. It's part of investors. It's part of what happens in the stock market. So the chance at double-digit returns will always come with risk. And that's the fact. You know, stock market makes, on average, 8 to 10% a year over 200 years of history. And if you can make 10% most years or close to it, you can understand that comes with some level of risk. So the first step in having a successful retirement is understanding that risk and making sure your financial plan can work in both positive and negative market cycles. I don't want my clients coming in and only being able to retire if things are going good. I want to show them my worst case scenario, you know, stress tested, if you will. This is the worst it could hopefully be, and here's why your plan will still work, still produce enough income that you can retire, whether it's a good or a bad market. Listen when you're young you know, when you're young, it's easy. Put some money away for emergencies and put the rest in the market linked investments for growth. It's easy. But as we age, retirement or the prospect of retirement becomes more real. And I think that's when we start to get a little bit squirrely. That's when we start to, should I be managing it closer? Should I be day trading it? No, the answer is absolutely not. You shouldn't be day trading it. Sometimes that reality makes us make poor decisions with our money. I recently met a client who had all of her 401k money invested in cash, as I said earlier. Although safe, there is no chance for growth. Even if you're conservative, you need some growth. You know, there are funds out there, mutual funds, Dave. They're called conservative growth funds. They actually take into account your conservative nature, and they will invest your money conservatively, but still to grow. As opposed to, you know, I met with a client today, not their fault per se, it's an account they're inheriting from someone who's passed away, but it's in a limited bond fund. It's a limited maturity bond fund. You know what that means?
No, I don't.
It means limited risk, which means limited upside.
Oh.
You know, limited upside. And when we were looking at 10-year averages of this particular fund, the fund was only in about 1.5-2% range for 10-year averages. That's pretty, pretty low, especially when you compare it to bank CDs and the stock market in general.
Well, what's the inflation percentage?
Well, the inflation percentage today is like 5 or 6%, so they're not even keeping
it. Doesn't even match at all.
No, and the average historical inflation we say is about 3%.
Mm-hmm.
So even then, you know, just using averages, they're not keeping pace with inflation, which is why I suggested today we make some changes to that fund. And again, you know, that was the person who originally set up the account. That was their risk tolerance. Hey, they invested. That's the first step. Great. Now the next step is, are we taking the appropriate amount of risk for what our goal is? You know, what our time frame is and what our ultimate, you know, outcome we want it to be. Does that make sense? So, you know, I think as we get older, it gets tougher to stay the course because obviously we're dealing with bigger numbers and we're dealing with a smaller time frame to make up for mistakes that we've made in the past. So if you're not keeping up with inflation, Dave just said it, then you're safely growing broke. And that is the truth. You know, safely growing broke. Think about that for a second.
Growing broke. Growing.
Going broke.
Oh, going. Growing too. Oh.
Going broke. Yeah, well, yeah, because if you're not keeping pace with inflation, your dollars buy less. You know, so if you had money, and I use the example, of course, it's facetious, but if you had money buried in the backyard, $100,000, let's say, don't do that, because what if the woodchucks find it?
Yeah.
But you get $100,000 buried in the backyard, 30 years later, you dig it up. Okay, guess what? It's still $100,000.
Yeah.
But now it doesn't buy as much. It doesn't buy the same car. It doesn't buy the same house, the same vacation, the same groceries. And the reason it doesn't is everything is much more expensive than it was just a few years ago. Every Thanksgiving, my favorite holiday, there's always this financial report that comes out and they tell you how much a Thanksgiving dinner is. And generally it goes up, you know, a few cents here, a few cents here, but every year that Thanksgiving dinner costs more. That's what inflation is. It's just the life you want to live costs more every year because of inflation. And that's why we have to outpace inflation with our money to make sure we maintain our buying power, not only now, but through retirement, and especially through retirement. So we'll take our next break and come back strong. But again, if you have questions, concerns, you're worried about retiring successfully with enough income to live on, you can give my office a call, 508-673-3300.
In a world filled with volatile markets and risky high fee investment choices, you feel alone and confused.
Does the thought of planning for retirement remind you of a scary Hollywood movie trailer? Call now for a free, no obligation, retirement income kit packed full of easy to understand information designed to help you create and maintain steady, predictable retirement income that can never be lost in the market. Call today. 855-406-6218 or download it now, financialplanninghour.com. You've worked too long and too hard to allow your retirement to play out like a scary movie trailer. So call right now, 855-406-6218. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. Ideas, concepts, and strategies that may challenge the way you were taught to think about saving and investing for retirement. The studio line is 508-673-1480. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. We are live today. If you've got questions, give us a call, 508-673-1480. Again, 508-673-1480. For the break, I was mentioning, you know, when you're young, risk is more normal. I think it is in general. As we get older, we get a little bit more risk adverse. I know certainly I find myself being a little bit older now, making little eeks and stuff in traffic sometimes when, you know, things don't go as you maybe expect. I think when you're young, risk is totally normal. You drive faster. You make rash decisions sometimes. You live by the seat of your pants, as my mother used to say. And then, you know, as we age, risk becomes less attractive to us. Your experience starts to kick in, you know, your sort of fight or flight mentality, if you will. You remember previous market crashes and say to yourself, I won't let that happen to me again, this time, perhaps, right? At some point in your investment life, you will lower your risk or market exposure and start thinking about where your income will come from. The key is when and how to make that transition. Many people think it's an all or nothing proposition. And that's the farthest thing from the truth. I just recently had a client right before I came over on the show actually refer me out to a coworker they know, and they've switched jobs. They've gone from one place to another, and she called me to schedule an appointment, which is great. I love it. And as we were having a quick discussion, first time we've ever spoken, she says, well, I got this 401k from this company, and I'm going to roll it over to my new 401k company. I said, okay, why? She goes, well, isn't that what you do? I said, not necessarily. I said, you could roll it over to a traditional IRA, and there's benefits to that too. And she goes, well, what are they? I said, well, in general, traditional IRAs come in many different forms. You could buy a CD, you know, at the bank or a credit union. You could buy a gold bar. You could buy an annuity, a mutual fund, a stock account, a managed account, whatever you want. And I said, if you go to your new 401k company, all they're going to give you is the 401k.
Same old thing.
Well, same old thing, same types of funds. And again, 401ks come with their own governing document, which basically is the 401k plans document that says, can you borrow money? Can you take a hardship withdrawal? All these different things apply to 401ks are not all the same. So in general, when we switch jobs, we don't really usually move our old 401k values to our new 401k. It's better off to move it to a traditional IRA. Usually that will work better for you. And a good financial advisor can explain all those ins and outs of why it probably works better for you to do it that way. You don't want to be governed by a plan. You know, as we get older, there's nothing worse than saying, hey, can I have this money? I need it because my kid's in trouble. And they're saying, no. It doesn't allow for hardship withdrawals. It doesn't allow for premature distribution. It doesn't allow for any of that. And different plans have different rules. So I've actually had to help modify plans before for people who were working for companies that 401k set up originally did not have hardship withdrawals. Because again, that's not something that's universal. It's something that each plan has its own choice on whether they offer that or not. So, you know, at some point, you've got to understand what you're doing with money. And really, my job as a financial advisor is to educate more than anything. That's what I do most of the time. I talk a lot. As people who listen to the radio know, I talk a lot. And the reason I talk a lot is because I want to make sure it's very clear before somebody makes a decision with their money. They've got both the good side, the bad side of every recommendation we're talking about. And they also know alternatives to what we're talking about so they can make their own informed decision. That's really the definition of a fiduciary. It's just education, and making sure that, you know, you answer questions as if it was you, and you make sure that you're not talking over someone or talking down to someone. You want to make sure that they understand clearly why you're making the recommendation you're making, and then the perils and the pluses that come with that particular recommendation. So key is, as I said earlier, is when do you make that transition from, you know, that young risk taker to the older, more risk adverse person? It really depends on what you're trying to accomplish. So even in retirement, you're going to have to take some stock market risk. You're going to have to. Think about, as I said earlier, you know, inflation that we've seen over the last couple of years. If you were someone who, say, 10 years ago decided, you know what, I've got $1 million. I feel like that's enough money to last my entire lifetime. I'm going to take my ball, go home, put everything in cash, and just take withdrawals as needed. as you're living every year, it's got to be a little nerve-wracking knowing you're not making growth. You're not having growth potential. You're not investing for any growth at all. And what's happening is every time you take a withdrawal, it's a little bit more painful. It's a little more worrisome because you're wondering, will the money continue to last? And that's why even in retirement, even if you're that conservative investor, having some money exposed to the market is not a bad idea. In fact, I'd say it's a necessary idea because you've got to be able to continue to grow at least a portion, whether it's a small portion or not, that's a decision you and your advisor can make, but a portion of your assets continue to grow for growth. Because what happens if you live longer than you expected?
Then you're going to run out of money.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've said it before on the show, my mother, not the best financial person in the world, but her financial plan worked for her. She died young. By dying young, she was able to make everything work. But, you know, I hate to say it like this because, you know, obviously we don't know. But if she lived to be 85, 86 years old, I have a feeling that it would have been a lot harder for her. And the hardest part of that is it's not like she doesn't know what going out to eat was like. So, you know, when you have to go and change your lifestyle for the negative and stop doing the things you used to love to do because you no longer can afford to do them, that's really depressing. You know, you think about it, like if you're a golfer, a lot of people I know who play golf, they like golf because they can play it when they're young or when they're old.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be able to afford those green fees, though.
No kidding.
And that's the hard part. You know, just hanging out at the club isn't the same unless you can go out and hit the ball. And that costs money.
Yeah.
That costs money. So you've got to think about, you know, it's not an all or nothing proposition. It's the farthest thing from the truth. The reality is you've just got to figure out what exposure you want to take. And that's why I ask very specific questions in our first meetings with clients is, you know, how much risk do you want? What type of risk taker are you? Are you conservative, moderate, or aggressive? And I'll drill that question down two or three times to make sure that when I get answers, they're answers that they feel comfortable with, not answers you think you want to hear. We've all done that before.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, we all answer, oh, I think that what they want to hear is this. No. When it comes to your financial advisor, you want to have an open and frank discussion with that person. And you just look at the inflation numbers we've seen over the last couple of years to know the best hedge against inflation is the stock market. And ultimately, that's why people invest in the stock market. You know, if we all could just earn 5% fixed for the rest of our lives and survive, we would.
It's safe. Is it possible to just live off the growth and leave all your money working for you, but just take what it's earned?
I have a client I just saw this afternoon who's a regular listener who literally that's what he does.
That's a great way to do it.
Well, he's got a good amount of money. That helps. You know, with him, his goal is really a very unique goal. I don't hear very often, but his goal was, I want to live off the interest.
Yeah.
And I want to leave all my principal, all the balance, if you will, to my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really noble. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm a good listener, so I heard what he said. And we ended up switching gears quite a bit because we went into fixed investments that pay fixed interest rates, that he could take that interest out as income and leave his principal alone and actually accomplish his goal pretty easily. You know, there's a lot of buckets of money, different buckets of money we have to keep an eye on. But for the most part, it was really easy. But again, he's a really good saver. You know, if you start that equation, go back to your question, Dave.
Yeah.
If you have $50,000 and you say, I want to live off the interest and never touch the principal, well,
that's not very much money.
It's not. And let's say we made you 10% a year, which we're not going to do every year. That's $5,000 in interest a year, right?
Yeah.
So that's probably not enough to live on. But let's say you had $1 million and you wanted 10% a year, and that's $100,000. Now maybe that works. So I think, you know, saving now is important. And unfortunately, a lot of us, we don't save enough. We think there's always more time. We think that, you know, we'll get to it. And the answer is it's really not more time or getting to it. It's about compounding that money over 30 years that matters. My favorite clients, I love all my clients, they all know that, but my favorite clients are my young ones. They come in, one girl came in, her name's Ava, she was 16 years old when she came in. She came in with her dad, and you would think she was dragged in kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
She wasn't.
Yeah.
She was her idea, really. Dad was just the one to facilitate the relationship because I already knew Dad. And when she came in, I'll never forget, I said, how much do you want to invest and why? And she said, I want to invest $400. And I want to put it in a Roth IRA because I'm young and I live at home and I really don't need all the extra income I make. And someday I will want to retire. And the more I put away now, the more I'll have later. And I'm telling you, I'm like, you are a smart young lady. You are going places in life. And it was funny because when I told her $400 a month, and she goes, Yeah, $400 a month. And I said, where are you going to come up with $400 a month as a 16-year-old girl? She goes, I got two jobs.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, I work two different jobs in Fall River. I bust my butt. And as a result, I have extra, and I know my family helps me out because I live at home right now. So I'm gonna put that extra money away. And really, I'm looking at her the whole time she's talking, and you know who I'm really looking at? Dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, Dad, what a great job you did.
Yeah.
What a great, great job. You taught your daughter that there's more important things than the best clothes, the best new cell phone, you know, the best friend experiences. And that's the truth. And, you know, as we get older, you know, when you're young and broke, it's cute. When you're old and broke, it's sad.
Yeah.
My wife, God bless her, has friends from high school. She is so frustrated when she tries to get together with these girls because, unfortunately, they're not all good savers. They're not good financially. And a lot of times when they try to get together for, you know, girls' night out or a little weekend rendezvous type thing, it ends up becoming pretty low budget. And my wife says, you know, in her mind, she won't say it aloud. Of course, she wants to maintain her friendships. But my wife says, hey, I'm 46 years old. My husband and I work really hard so that when we do go out, we can have a little bit of fun. And, you know, she's sort of brought back to her high school days where it's like some pizza rolls in the toaster oven and let's call it a day. You know, and hey, there's nothing wrong with pizza rolls, right? Huh. But at the end of the day, I think we get a little bit older. We get a little bit more mature. And the things that made us happy 10, 20, 30 years ago probably are not going to be the same ones that make us happy in the future. You know, my weekends are basically spent trying to make impacts on my son. You know, that's what I want to do. I want to spend as much time with him as I can because I know he's a freshman in high school now. I know by 18, 19 years old, he's going to have his friend circles that are going to be way more, they already are, they're way more important than I am. So I have to do fun stuff with him and make sure that I can make an impression on him now before I lose out on that opportunity to do that. So, you know, teaching your kids the principles of going without and saving for something, it works, and you'll be rewarded with it more than you'd ever know, and that's so important because that's really our goal as parents. We want what's better for them, and what's better is not giving them stuff; it's teaching them stuff. You know, it's that old saying. You know, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. If you teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. And that's really what our goal should be. You know, whether you're talking to your children, whether I'm talking to my clients, that's my goal. It's to educate, to make sure that my clients can survive in a good market. Of course, that's easy, though. But I want them to survive in a bad market. I want them to know that their income checks will come in no matter what is happening in the stock market around them. So in my office, we prefer to use split strategies, not all or nothing out of the stock market. And we'll talk more about that after the break. But again, if you need help retiring successfully, you're not sure where your income's going to come from in retirement, you can call my office, 508-673-3300.
Investing in the stock market these days is like riding a roller coaster. Leaving a place of safety, get on the coaster, hear the clickety-clack as you experience anticipation climbing to the top of the hill, followed by sheer panic as you plummet back to the earth, hoping you stay on track. You might be brave enough to repeat the process several times, going up and down, but never achieving higher highs and accomplishing nothing but anticipation followed by fear. The stock market has been doing this same ride of volatility with no real growth. Proper education, though, can help you find a better way to grow your money during these times.
So, how's this latest stock market roller coaster treating you? It's time to get off and call Richard Bassett right now at 855-406-6218. That's 855-406-6218. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. For the break, I was talking about that transition from, you know, that risk taker to that more conservative investor. When do you make that transition? And really, the answer is it's individualized. Obviously, you've got to make that decision on your for yourself, hopefully with the help of a financial advisor, making sure you're not, you know, missing some key aspects of that transition. But what I prefer in my office is not that end, you know, it's not all or nothing. nothing proposition. As I said before the break, it's more of a split strategy that we use. And by utilizing a split strategy, you can get the best of both worlds. One investment, and simplifying for today's purposes, but one investment could be a stock market-based investment, can provide you with that growth and liquidity, while the other can provide you with that income and safety. And by doing that, you get the four characteristics that everybody wants from their ideal investment: growth, liquidity, income, and safety. The problem is they don't come from one investment. You've got to diversify. What I find most frustrating in my business is that clients come from other advisors, other firms, and what I see a lot is they'll say, well, I've diversified. And I'll say, great, you've diversified. Let me see it.
Yeah.
I get my hands on it. I start looking at it. I get excited. And the first thing I notice is that they're diversified, but really they're not.
How do you mean?
Well, they've got a growth fund, and they've got an income fund, and they've got a balance fund, and they got a bond fund, and they got an international fund. But you see, the key word is
fund.
They're all funds. They're all funds. They're all stock market based mutual funds, and as a result, they're all at risk. They're all at risk. Even the most conservative mutual fund.
But you said bond.
Yeah, bonds can lose too.
A bond fund.
A bond fund. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely. So, you know, when I think of diversification, I think of things that are completely different from each other. You know, take the stock market. That's one bucket. Take something else that's completely different from the stock market, like an annuity or like a CD or like a money market. That's totally separate. They don't work in the same direction. They don't go in the same direction. They go against each other. That's diversification. Hmm. I think that's the way to go. So, recent meeting I had with a client, first year review. This was a great story. They have one investment providing them with monthly income checks. So the husband and wife, they have one investment that feeds them monthly checks, which is great. It's like a pension. And in our first review, they mentioned they want to go to Mexico. So now they're going to go to Mexico. That's not my decision. That's up to them. So they're going to go to Mexico. And that's great. I said to him, you're retired and now you're enjoying your travel. You want to do something with it. And, you know, the first question I asked him was, how much do they need? And they told me they needed about, you know, $6,000 or $7,000, whatever it was. And I said, that's great. And they said, really? It's great? I said, yeah, it's great. They said, we weren't sure how you were going to react. I said, well, the best part about my job is I take the money and then I give it back. And I love that. So I said, how much do you need? And they said $6,000 was the number they came across. I said, this is great. And they said, why? I'm like, you had a good year in the stock market. Look what happened. You got your monthly income checks. That never changed, right? They said, nope, that was there every month, steady Eddie, on the dot, direct deposited into our accounts. Perfect. I said, and now you want $6,000 to go to Mexico? And they said, yeah, that's right. And I said, perfect. Your accounts made $9,000 last year. You're going to take six to pay for your trip south of the border. And you'll still have $3,000 more than you started with a year ago.
That's awesome.
It was great.
Good,
right?
For them.
It was great. But I told him, that's not every year. That's a good year. Next year, maybe we don't go on a trip. Maybe we go on a smaller trip. Who knows? We can't predict the future. But one thing we know is there are only gains if you take the money and do something with it. If you put a $50,000 investment in the stock market and a year later it's worth $60,000, you have a $10,000 gain. But if you don't take it out and spend it or reallocate it to something safer, you could potentially lose that gain, which in turn you've lost the time you used to make that gain. So just think about that as you go. So they did all this without this particular client. They did all this without interfering with their monthly income checks. Their monthly income checks will still come in. Let's face it, the stock market is full of peril. But by utilizing a split strategy, you're able to gain more income certainty with less stock market exposure, and in turn, less risk while still maintaining your liquidity, and in turn, your flexibility in retirement. So split strategy works really well. You get the best of both worlds, liquidity and growth from a portion of it, income and safety for the other. And again, true diversification will provide you with a plan that can survive up and down markets, regardless of how long that takes for markets to switch, markets to recover. So with that said, I'm going to wrap up so Dave can talk a little bit. I am Richard Bassett, financial advisor with J. Marshall Associates. We're located directly across the Watson School, 982 Eastern Avenue in Fall River. If you'd like to come in for a review, we're all consultation, 508-673-3300 is the office. My phone number directly, 508-673-3300 again. And jmarshallfinancial.com is the website. And you can also find us on Facebook. What's new in the real estate world, Dave?
Houses, yes. David Brown, Realtor, High Point Properties. Phone number 508-277-3297. Just There's a lot of people are talking about low inventory and high prices, right? We hear that all the time down here on the South Coast.
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell you something, man. Go shopping in Boston for a house. Go shopping in Boston for a house that's got three bedrooms and two bathrooms. I mean, there's a lot of different criteria, square footage, fireplaces, garages, parking, yada, 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 yada. But if you're looking for a house in Boston that has three bedrooms and two full bathrooms, and, you know, there's different ways to search. I searched new active listings, price changes back on the markets, extended listings, and reactivated listings. There is a total, a grand total of seven houses for sale in Boston.
Wow.
That match that criteria. Wow. There's more houses than that, but that match the criteria that I searched for. There's only seven, and the least expensive house is $499,000, $500,000 for a house, and they just keep going up. $649,000, $699,000, another one for $699,000, one for $799,000. Last two, it's $819,000, and the most expensive one that matches this criteria is $849,000, and that's a lot of money for a house.
It sure is.
I mean, and it's expensive to live in Boston. In fact, it brings it to my attention that the South Coast is relatively inexpensive by comparison, you know? Now, again, the market changes every day, but I looked this up at 12:30. So this information is very, very recent. It's up to the minute. Okay, so there's my music. So now you know a little bit more about real estate. I'm David Brown, Realtor, High Point Properties. Phone number 508-277-3297. Thanks.
Thank you very much, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.